This call is being recorded.
The floor is yours, Winnie. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Hi, everyone. Am I okay, Mary? Can you hear me?
Yes. Mary?
Okay.
I can hear you.
All right. So tonight we're going to talk about how we can leverage affirmation to help us flow in a way that is much more fun in life. When I was writing this today, I saw what I wrote and I thought, how am I going to deliver on this? It sounds like so promising. And so I deliver to, and it's compelling and it's similar to the content that I will be sharing today is similar to the write-up that I gave to Jason. So if it doesn't meet anyone's expectation, it's all Jason's fault because he rewrote everything. I'm not taking any responsibility for it. So, is everyone mute, Mary? Hello?
Yeah, everybody's muted, but you.
Okay. I will pretend I am in the asylum and talking to myself. So, what I want to talk about today is how we can use affirmations to enhance our lives, and how we can use them to make the inner game that we play much more playful and much more expansive for us. Expansive, that's what I meant to say. And now, first of all, the first thing is I will give everyone like about 3 or 4 minutes so they can grab something to write, or also if they can find a notebook or anything that they have written in the past few days or a month ago, I want them to grab this, because I would like for you to take a look at your handwriting, because that would be part of this this workshop. So I'll give you a few minutes to do that. Shall I go ahead, Mary?
Sorry, I went to go get my notebook.
Okay. All right. So, what I want to say immediately is that affirmations are nothing but hypnotic suggestions. And a hypnotic suggestions are literally words that we say to ourselves all the time, a sentence that you find yourself writing. For example, I'm attracting wealth now. So that is an affirmation. And often people feel frustrated with affirmations not working for them. And it's not because the affirmation in itself is wrong. It's because we haven't had sufficient information to make the affirmation powerful enough to work for us. Affirmations are literally communications that affirm the messages that we are sending to our subconscious mind. And if we are much better writers, and if we send more powerful messages to our subconscious mind, then it is more likely to cooperate with us. So I wanted to talk about the idea of the subconscious mind in Western culture. It's a fairly new concept. When you consider that it came into a consciousness in the early 1930s, and it's a concept that was made popular by mostly Freud. But for Freud, he viewed the subconscious mind as a black box where we only had repressed memories and neurosis, and repressed memories that were mostly sexual memories. And there was a doctor by the name of Milton Erickson who lived in the U.S. I think he lived in the Midwest. And he was a follower of Freud. And that was mostly in the late 1930s and mostly in the 1940s. Milton Erickson started to move away from this concept that the subconscious mind is a black box where we have all these neuroses and bad memories and all these unpleasant things going on for us. For Milton Erickson, he saw the subconscious mind mostly as a storehouse that had that held all of our resources. And that was a huge departure in perception, because if you have a different perception, then you have different strategies, and these strategies are going to affect the way you behave, and they're going to dictate your habits as well, and therefore your actions, and therefore the game, the outer game that you play in life. So for Erickson, he thought that the conscious mind, when we had problems, it's because the conscious mind was out of alignment with the subconscious mind, and it was out of rapport, and there was lack of trust. So going back to the idea of affirmations are a great way to help establish trust with the subconscious mind. Affirmations are great ways to start creating alignment and great communications to happen. Milton Erickson reminds us all the time that it's not a good idea, through his writing, of course, because he's no longer alive. He reminds us through his writing that the conscious, when we rely too much on the conscious mind, we tend to exactly fall out of rapport with our subconscious mind, because the conscious mind is limited, and it is very good at deleting, generalizing, and distorting information. So does that remind you a little bit of the exercise that we do? It's called ABS. So it's like we have to find a space when information is like coming through us, and the conscious mind is going to write down that information or those symbols or what have you, these images, and then the conscious mind has to be judicious enough not to fall into the trap of deleting, generalizing, and distorting. And for the conscious mind to start getting the right information, it needs to start cooperating, to start communicating, and start having a rapport with a conscious mind. So I'm going to share with you a few ideas on how we can start building these a better rapport with the subconscious mind, and that would be through writing affirmations that are potent. So the first key idea that I want you to remember is that the best time to write our affirmations are the moment when we get up, the minute that we wake up in the morning, that's the best time to write our affirmation. And the second one that I'm going to tell you first, that would be before you fall asleep, like 15 minutes before going to bed. That's when we should write our affirmations, because that's when the window, the door of your subconscious mind opens. And that is like when your conscious mind, that is always, it's like the critical mind, that there's a layer that does not allow any information to pass, any information that that you think is not part of your worldview, it will not go through. But 15 minutes before you go to bed, or when you're getting ready to go to bed or fall asleep, anything will go in. And that is why it is always suggested not to watch horror movies at night before you go to bed, or the news, because you're wide open, and you're wide open for stupid things to go in. It's best to be wide open for great things to go in. That's one reason that affirmations are not put in, when, because people write them anytime in the day. It's good to do that, but the best time, the most potent times, are the two times that I just indicated. Another idea that you might find useful is to integrate your emotions in your affirmations. So when you're writing them, you should be writing what you feel and how you feel. So don't write so much. It's not very useful. It's not a great way to communicate with your subconscious mind, by saying, oh, I want $1,000. But if you were to talk about the feeling, the reasons behind why you would want the $1,000, for example, the freedom that it would bring you, or whatever that generates, that excitement, that is, that creates a line that opens up a line of communication with your subconscious mind, because it understands feelings. It is open to this types of communication, because our subconscious mind itself communicates to us through feelings and sensations. So think about an organization that is powerful, that is successful, has top-down management and bottom-up management. So affirmations are is a top-down management system, managerial strategy. So, so top-down, bottom-up. That's really important. Any questions thus far?
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. For anybody that came in a little bit late, Winnie, our leader for this session, said to get some paper and a pen, and preferably if you use like a notebook or a journal, or maybe you've got some scrap paper that has like some writing on it that was recent, that would be best. Is this because we're going to compare? I don't want to get ahead of you. So if you guys can just grab some paper and a pen, if you don't already have it, that would be awesome. Really interesting, Winnie.
Okay, thank you for saying this, because sometimes I think I'm talking to myself.
No, we're
it's a very we're difficult with you. To see. Oh, I'm on
YouTube. Yeah, this is, you know, I got to tell you, it's really good stuff. So I shot Mary a text, said, "Are we recording?" And she said, "Yeah, of course." But you know, when I certified in hypnotism, and I remember Erickson, because he was the guy that wrote that book of scripts, where you know he was of course all about the subconscious mind. And so if as an example, somebody, you know, the book was available to everybody, and let's say that a subject was a child of 10 who was still wetting the bed. And he'd say, just go with your standard induction technique or whatever your favorite is, and then read them this story about flying a kite. And
yeah, he's all about stories.
And that somehow addressed wetting the bed. It was like, if you want to stop smoking, read them the story about gorillas, you know, things like that. And that was one of my first eye-opening things, like, wow, the subconscious mind does not work anything like the conscious mind, and yet it's the most important mind to get to know.
Yeah.
It almost seems like it's a magical spell where in the universe, where the subconscious mind kites translate into what, you know, stopping wetting the bed. Like, why is that its language or dictionary, or how are those things related?
And my main question at that time was how Erickson even figured that out, because there were 50 scripts in that book, and it's actually an absolute seminal work in the workings of the subconscious mind.
Maybe he was able to retrieve it. I'm sorry, go ahead, Winnie.
Oh, I was going to say that now that when I was working on putting this together, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to happen. I'm going to have to do a workshop number 3 to explain something. To explain that actually the subconscious mind is actually a bridge between what we call here the higher mind and the conscious mind.
Cool.
So,
dimensional
anyway,
travel.
So you were like, sort of that answers your question, Mary.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I have a question that I would like to ask you people. So if I say to you, the garbage is full, what do you think I mean?
Do you want me to unmute everyone?
Yes.
Okay, so hold on a second.
What am I saying?
Can you repeat that?
When I say the garbage is full, so imagine a couple, a wife and a husband, and the wife says the garbage is full. What is she saying?
Well, that the garbage is full.
She's saying, get up off your butt and go empty the garbage.
Yes. Okay. And then what else? Anyone else?
The garbage is full. That's a trick question.
No, it's not a trick question. This is a source of a lot of fights in relationships because you have people who take messages directly and people who take message indirectly. There are people who are very good at reading subtext, and some other people are not very good at reading subtext. So person who answered, get up off your butt and go empty the garbage, is basically that, so would have understood that, would not have needed to be told that, hey, the garbage needs to be taken out, whereas other people, you need to tell them take the garbage out. And we don't understand that, and there's this miscommunication, and then before you know it, there's a huge fight. Same way with the subconscious and conscious mind. When we're writing affirmations, sometimes we write them like directly, thinking that our subconscious mind is like gonna be excited about it. But for most of us, what would work best would be an indirect, quote unquote, suggestion or affirmation.
Wow.
Is that
Winnie? Because one of the things I think of too is, you know, we all have filters, and sometimes too, you know, we have relationships that develop, and we, in a close relationship, where especially when you're cohabitating, you develop kind of an unspoken language. And so it might even depend, you know, if I'm somewhere, maybe I'm at a small little cafe and it's my first time there, and the guy behind the counter says, hey, customer, the trash is full. My response is going to be, okay. I'm not going to say, oh, do you want me to take it out? Right?
And yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, of course, filters too. In some cases, maybe we've got a contentious relationship with the person with whom we're cohabitating. And, you know, the response might be, you know, are you asking me or are you telling me? You know, so I wonder how this also impacts the choices we make in the affirmations and our wording of affirmations.
Right. So it would like apply to you. So you would turn it toward yourself. If someone were to tell me the garbage is full, what would I do? So that's how I would want you to start thinking about it when you write your affirmation. Do you write an affirmation that is direct or indirect? How do you best communicate with your own subconscious mind? But it does work out within in a social setting it's often the case of a lot of miscommunications in marriages, because like, why don't you talk to me directly? Why don't you tell me what you want me to do? Because I can't read your mind.
Yes, it right. Makes sense.
And you don't want to be a nag, so you just state facts, hoping someone
right.
will fill in the blank. And you're saying that we actually communicate this way to the
right.
deeper part of ourselves. And so it's missing the cues because we're not speaking the right language.
Exactly. Well,
and that also brings me to thinking about how literal, you know, the universe or subconscious or, you know, whatever you want to call it, how literally things are taken, so that even in a relationship situation, you know, instead of saying, you know, hey, the trash is full, you know, the quicker and more, I guess, effective or efficient thing would be, would you please take out the trash? And I wonder then also about affirmations, getting more specific with affirmations, you know,
right.
what kind of a different impact would that make?
Yeah, that depends on how you process your information. So what the example that I just gave to you is for you to explore as to how do I process information? Because once you understand how you process information, you're going to navigate through the whole through the world differently when you have that understanding. It will be like Neo being able to stop a bullet. When you understand how your own processing works, like what people say to you, if you used to take them like personally, then you will be in a space where you can take them impersonally, because you understand how you process in your information, and you can begin to adjust that map.
Cool.
But that's
excellent.
Another workshop. Okay. So are we clear on this? Is it clear?
I'm clear.
Okay.
I'm clear.
I want to know more.
Okay. Are you clear? I'm not, no subtext. Okay. And the last thing that, the last important thing that I want to share with you is your writing. When you're writing your affirmation, be mindful on how you construct your letters. And I'm going to give you a couple of pointers on getting information from your subconscious mind. Do you remember how earlier I talked about top-down management, bottom-up management? So this is like bottom-up management, right? So, so when I want you to pay attention to two letters especially. It's I and the letter T. The letter I, when you are writing words that have I's in it, make sure that you dot your I's, because then you will start reinforcing behaviors that deals with discipline and being able to finish through a particular activity. Also, dotting your eyes is being like focused and enhancing your attention. Okay. So if you look at your papers, your past writing, and you notice that you have not been dotting your I's, then it's time to start doing that, because then it's like you're paying attention. It's a way your subconscious mind is letting you know, hey, you're not You're not paying attention. And these, just so that you don't think I'm making this up, there have been like studies that have been done on this, and where people looked at a bunch of writing patterns and writing and samples, and then they looked at people's behavioral patterns, and they would find that people who were more undisciplined or always in a rush tended to form their letters in a particular way. And writing is the way you form your letters. It is a unconscious activity, and the reason for that is that you're not really paying attention all the time on how you write. So writing is a unconscious activity. I knew a guy who was like so good at this I gave him the writing sample of someone who was sick, and he was able to tell me what this person was suffering with. I didn't then tell him that this person was sick. So the other letter is the letter T. And the letter T, you know, the bar that you have the bar. So make sure that it's centered. And it's like in the middle, because if you have a pattern where the bar is really high, then your subconscious mind is communicating to you that there's a belief that your goals are like way too high for you to attain. And the same thing with the little dot on the eye. Don't just put it down close enough to the eye. Anything that is like high, then you are unconsciously carrying the belief that there's something you cannot achieve. So when you start paying attention to those two letters, then you start the conscious mind, who's in charge of directing, of giving the subconscious mind directions, is in a way is telling the subconscious mind, hey, you guys, this is okay. I want you to be on board with this. And if you're writing your affirmation every day at the specific times that I'm telling you, then your subconscious mind is going to start getting the idea that, yeah, everything is on board. Yeah. We are in alignment. And so we're writing these affirmations. In my world, hypnotic suggestions to create alignment so that you have better results in the outer game. And And the last idea that I wanted to share on the same subject, the writing part, your writing make sure that it's neither slanted to the right nor to the left, that it's pretty like straightforward. So when it's slanted to the right, then you are leaning too much into the future. When it's slanted to the left, then you are holding the left margin, right? When all of your letters are going toward the left, then you are holding way too much onto the past. And the best way to realize anything that you want and to have fun is to be in the present. So have a look at your writing that you were at your writing sample and see if you have such patterns.
Yeah, and I can actually see evidence of where, like, I'm writing and it's like I checked out.
Yeah.
In the middle of the writing it, like it was, and there's like undotted I's and uncrossed T's.
Right.
Does it look like I was very present for that paragraph?
Right.
Like I was hurrying through it or something.
Yes, I have a question.
Uh-huh.
What about, so, you know, depending on how old one is, when we are taught cursive writing in grade school, it slants to the right. And all of the charts would show you that, at least in the U.S. And so I know that for myself, as I'm looking at my writing, it's actually kind of all over the place. It's a couple of pages of my notebook. I was working with somebody over the phone. So I've got printing, I've got cursive. Some of my cursive is straight up and down. Some of my cursive is leaning to the right. All my I's are dotted and all my T's are crossed, but they're high.
Yeah, that's true. Calligraphy is slanty to the right.
Yeah.
Slight diagonal. Does that indicate that we're...
So we want consistency. Right? We want consistency. So if you're like all over the place, it's time for a little bit of consistency. For me, all of my... it's my writing looks like I'm printing all the time. And it means something else that is not like part of the discussion. So I've accepted myself for what I am, so I'm not trying to change it. But
so
I
maybe
do
the
work
trick,
on
the
Yeah, I work on my I's and my T's, and I do the best that I can to remain to have my writing be like straightforward, you know, neither slanting to the right nor to the left.
Yeah. Okay.
So I don't know who asked the previous questions, but what I would say is to stick with a style and not have so much inconsistency. But especially for your affirmation, I would, you know, try not to have a lot of inconsistencies. Because you're reinforcing that pattern.
You're reinforcing a chaotic pattern.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we are nearing the end. And if anyone has any questions, I'm happy to answer any questions. And the second part is that I can do like a hypnotic guide, I don't know, a hypnosis part or a hypnotic process, and then afterward Jason can jump in if he wants to, or Jason can come in right now if he wanted to. So it's up to you.
No, please proceed.
Okay. All right, any questions?
And I was kind of wondering if it I can't even believe what I've learned in such a short space with this workshop. I'm actually amazed by it. But, you know, when Shakespeare / Edward de Vere, who it's actually who it was that wrote those, said, "Know thyself." This is what he was referring to. This is the stuff he was referring to, you know, and given the context at that time, you know, listening in on this conversation, it'd be, well, you know, which way did you slant your letters when you hand wrote those? And he would have had some notion as to why he was doing it. You know what I mean? And that's right. A true story, because that's all those guys did. But I wonder if it might be instructive if what you did was have 1, 2, 3 people go ahead and write an affirmation that they're very serious about bringing into or taking out of their life, and then critiquing it in a way that helps us all to hone our abilities.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
So why don't we
just go ahead. Don't give me any names. don't give me any names. Send me a sample.
Yeah, and let's just give whoever wants to participate 4 or 5 minutes to go ahead and write, because it really should be a one sentence, should it not? Because it's because you don't want to convolute it, you don't want to, for instance, give. You know, when you begin to convolute things, you're almost giving yourself an excuse, and then you're actually illustrating that you have reservations about your own desires, you know, things like that.
Right.
So let's just have, someone or all, for all I care, write a sentence, and let's break it down.
Okay.
Are you saying that I should, for example, like, we should text it?
No, let's just have them write them right now and have Winnie either listen to it or have it put into the chat. Are you on your computer, Winnie, or are you on a phone?
I am on the phone.
I see. And is there a change or a consideration for the impact of it if it is read to you?
No, I can listen to it.
And then could there be questions about the writing itself, just how it looks?
Do you know what? It has to be handwritten. So if someone wants to send me an email. Yeah, if they want to send me an attachment of, they can take a picture of it on their phone and then send me an email.
If they're curious about that particular element, okay, but mm-hmm. maybe we can have a few read to you. And so.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and mute myself again, because I there's never been a more consummate student on earth than I am. And I want to learn more as we speak. So I'm going to go ahead and mute myself.
I'm writing my affirmation.
Okay. I'll be back in 2 minutes, okay?
Okay.
Winnie, did you say that it was possible to send I'm on my smartphone right now, so I could take a photo of what I wrote, or shall I type it in chat?
She just stepped away for a minute.
Well, I enjoy talking to myself, so it's all good.
Well, if you didn't hear Mary, Winnie just stepped away for a second.
Yeah, I know. I did hear Mary. That's I was making a stupid joke about talking to myself. Wouldn't be the first time, won't be the last.
You know, I don't laugh at stupid jokes.
Oh, that's so sad. I'm judging you again.
We frequently find out that we've accidentally muted ourselves and we're talking and talking and nobody, you know, people just talk over you and you figure it out. You figure it out like 30
how rude.
So Winnie, Susan asked if she could send you a text of text picture. And so her are you comfortable with me reading out your phone number?
Well, you know, I can read it out. That's fine. I mean, either that or Mary, I could email it to you, but I don't.
Yeah, you can email it to me. That's fine. Mary can give you my phone number.
You can also you can also be an attachment through the Super Beings email if you want.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But anyway. I'm ready to listen if anyone's ready.
I guess
hey,
I could
Cheryl
just read it to you.
Her.
Oh.
Yeah, go for it. We'll do yours, we'll do Cheryl's.
Okay, so yeah, this is Susan. So the essence of my true nature is happiness and abundance.
Okay, so may I ask what is the goal that you are going for?
Well, happiness and abundance, for one. but also I'm... kind of readying myself to change careers.
May I interrupt?
Yeah.
Sure.
What makes you think your subconscious isn't happy?
Well, I don't know if my subconscious is unhappy or happy.
Exactly.
And so I just feel like I'm supporting this notion.
Well, exactly what makes you happy?
All sorts of things.
Then whatever the visualization of those things are, isn't that the affirmation? Am I wrong about this, Winnie?
Yes. Yes, you are correct.
Oh, okay.
You are
so
correct.
It's about...
That's why that's why I was asking her what was her goal, because your subconscious mind want direction, so you're not giving like a clear direction.
So in order to communicate the language of the subconscious, there's like two parts, right? So you're saying, is the affirmation at least even a little bit really for your conscious mind? And then the feeling part of it, like Jason said, when you do the visualization, that is the thing that's going to talk to the subconscious. Is that the kind of the idea?
So the affirmations is never for your conscious mind. It's always for your subconscious mind. And so that is why it's I counsel that. That it should be written at certain times. All the things that we are that we just finished talking about. So when you say, "I'm sorry," what was the affirmation again? I am a happy.
The essence of my true nature is happiness and abundance.
Right. So if you, I would say that you should write what triggers what. The visualization, the feeling that triggered that. When you say that, what do you see? You know, what is it that you feel?
Well, where no. I know where I am, where this kind of stems from is I'm fixing to, I live in Texas, so I got to say fixing to give notice.
Understood.
I'm not from here, but I've lived here for about 13 years, but I'll be giving notice to my current employer who I've been with for a very long time. I don't know where I'm going next. But mm-hmm. I do know that I seek something that will be, you know, fulfilling, purposeful, and abundant financially for me, and abundant in joy and abundant in purposeful work.
Okay. So now we're getting somewhere. So the affirmation I would suggest should lean towards my life or my subconscious, my whatever brings me more happiness, more clarity. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yes, that's a bit more direct.
When you say that, don't you feel like the feeling of joy starting to spread in you? I mean, in saying that for you, I felt happy.
Yes. It's claiming it. For me, it feels like I'm claiming it by stating it.
Right.
That's how it feels to me anyway.
Right. And there's something called representational system. And earlier I talked about how we process information. And I feel for you, and we all have a primary representational system. And that means how we travel, how we navigate the world, our first line of defense when it comes to processing information. So like for you, I think it's feeling. Feeling is is what makes it real for you. So
that makes
affirmation
sense.
Should be slanted more towards feeling.
Thank you. Thank you, Winnie.
Oh, you're welcome.
And Jason.
I helped a ton there, didn't I?
You did. You both did. Thank you. You asked a really good question. How do you know your subconscious isn't already happy? And I was like, that's a good question. I really don't know.
Right. It's, you know, the one thing that I do know about the subconscious mind that I could say with some expertise is how much it is, you know, reflected in the way that the Huna healers of Hawaii would call it, the Unity healing. And it's very unformed in many ways. And so it's very mm-hmm. like a child. And so when anybody ever is talking about the inner child, that's what they're talking about. And mm-hmm. and as an example, if let's say that somebody runs into the street at the age of 12 and gets killed, and now there's a ghost haunting that house. Well, that's not the person. That's not the spirit. It's not the soul, whatever you choose. It's actually that being, because that being's the one that got set adrift and didn't know really what happened. And now that being's the ghost, while the real you went off and went to a spa to get cleaned up and get ready to reincarnate.
Excellent.
And isn't it like
all I was going to add is that so honing one's ability to communicate with that inner entity, beginning with feeling and pictures and so on and so forth, is one of the great arts in mastery. Because as an example, you cannot master self without mastering that entity.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense. I am learning so much on this call.
You're talking about the Unity Healy?
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
that's another name for it.
They call that in the Huna.
And it's what Freud called the id, I believe. And so you have the id, the ego, and the superego. And so the superego is meta-self, ego is self, and it is that entity, sub-ego, maybe is a good way to put it. Interestingly enough, that being has access to stuff that we do not. And that's another reason to get to know it and to nurture it and to bring it along. Because if as an example, you wanted to, let's say, let's say command a very childlike earth spirit, the way to do that is through that inner entity.
Yes, and that's why I was saying, oh no, we're going to have a third workshop because the childlike entity that you're talking about and is very powerful is actually the bridge between the conscious mind and the meta self.
Right, and that's why I kind of, you know, why I wanted to see your work blossom, because I know there's a ton of dovetailing. A lot of people would think this is very simple stuff, but if you were going to go to a mastery school, let's say in Qumran at the time of Jesus, this is what they start with.
There is no, everybody can work on this part of their self, their consciousness. And I don't know if it's exactly the same thing, but all the stuff that I was learning about the limbic system and how the limbic system is deeply related to the subconscious. And I don't know if they're one and the same, but it's where the subconscious lives.
The limbic the limbic is the body of that entity.
Yeah. Or some people might say it's like the inner child. And the way that I was taught to work with the limbic system is they said, you've got to think about this part of yourself as like it's got the reasoning capacity of a toddler. And so when you're dealing with this part of yourself and healing it, you can't be too harsh, and you've got to be firm. You've got to be firm and loving and give total boundaries and guide it in the direction it needs to go in. But the best way to communicate with it is through feeling and emotion and getting the good feeling chemicals going in your body. So if you can, when you're doing your affirmation, tap into those good feelings, then it's going to like wire together that glow, and that affirmation is going to stick so much deeper because it's got a kind of reinforcement it's got a reward
it's going to cause an association with an idea with a feeling. And and in that way, you are in effect instructing that self on how you want to feel, because it doesn't really know. If you crash, if you fall off your bike and scrape your elbow really hard and the pain is terrible, that being actually enjoys the pain simply because it's so large.
That it can get confused and stuck in that sensation, I think, sometimes. I think that's what happens with trauma, but
that's exactly what happens with trauma.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so children who are abused, when they in later in life, there's a part of them that is seeking that abuse simply because it thought that that was what was to be enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. False, because we learn through association and repetition, that particular being.
Right. And that's why it takes such patience to do the reassociating. Yeah. You could call it rewiring, or you could call it reassociating and making very clear definitions through pictures of what to like and what not to like, as an example. I'm not saying it as well as you and Mary are, but that's kind of how it works.
Is there, Winnie, do you have a suggestion for how I can better, like, connect with the feeling? Like, could it be something like, with my affirmation, say, like, I really love certain smells, and they bring me a lot of pleasure, like my essential oils. Maybe mm-hmm. when I do my affirmation, I suppose I could just smell it, but maybe it would even be better if I just imagine myself smelling it and experiencing the olfactory high that I'm getting from this rose oil, so that I can fuse together the feeling with the affirmation. Do you have any exercises or tips to make
that's what you just mentioned is like a trigger. So that's a good exercise. Another good exercise is vivification, meaning that you're going to imagine a time when you were smelling the oil or whatever pleasant memory you have. And as you know, your subconscious mind doesn't differ between what's a fantasy or what's imagination in real. Everything is real.
Mm-hmm.
So you bring up, you know, that memory, and you're totally into that memory, and then it will start to bring up these good feelings as if you were actually experiencing it. So that's like one way you could do it, and then you would start writing your affirmation.
Is it just mm-hmm. enough to bring up a pleasurable feeling, even if it's not necessarily connected to the affirmation?
Exactly. At the beginning, it's just enough to feel good. Because when you start feeling good, then you start changing your very biochemistry itself and your body itself, and then you shift your energy. So what's important is the good feeling first. And that feeling, those feelings also gonna start associating those feelings with what you're writing as well. So then do you remember in the mental bank how we talked about the snowballing effect?
Yeah.
So that's what you're going after.
Cool.
Okay.
Please, someone else write an affirmation so I can learn more.
What did you say, Jason?
I said, please, someone else write and read an affirmation so I can learn more. Fine.
Okay, I know. Jason's subconscious mind is unhappy.
How about Jason do one where he's in alignment with all electronics? Everything electronic works beautifully. It works.
And will be for what purpose? Oh, well, thank you for this gift. When you're writing your affirmation and then you finding that you're stuck, you can't bring that good feeling, you keep asking yourself, for what purpose do I want this? For what purpose? And keep going beyond and beyond until you get away from, oh, the reason I want $1,000 is because I want to buy more clothes. But for what purpose? Until you get to, oh, because I want to feel beautiful and everything. So that's what you're going after. not because you want like $1,000. You're going after this feeling of wanting wealth so you can experience beauty and fun and whatever.
Maria says, I am ineffable.
Is this a feedback? Is this a feedback or a
it's an affirmation. I am ineffable. What does ineffable mean? I forget.
So would that be speechless?
Indescribable, cannot be described.
I'm great. I'm
like
too extreme to be described in words.
Okay, yeah. So for what purpose? For what purpose, Maria? Why would you want to be indescribable? So remember also the subconscious is 5 years old. So imagine yourself saying that to a 5 year old. Would a 5 year old understand that? Even though the subconscious is rich in resources, but nonetheless, it has the understanding, the reasoning of a five-year-old. So would a five-year-old understand that? So when you close your eyes and you imagine, either in your heart or in, when you think through your abdomen, for example, why would you want to be speechless and indescribable? For what purpose?
She says, she wrote, I think she might have a lot of maybe some noise at home, so she's typing it out in the chat. And she says, undefinable. Mm-hmm. I ask, are we all that? It's light for me. I ask, are we all that?
This call is really not about what Maria is referring to. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's this is what we're working on in this call is really practical level stuff. You can't rewire your limbic system to be God. That's really all that's being said there is let me transcend this and become light as an example, and that's not what this call is really about. So we probably ought to move on to some the stuff that's like. I've had a 20-year backache, and I want to rewire my system, my subconscious, my id, my unipihili, to stop being addicted to that pain.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're working on in this call.
Yes.
And that's where mastery begins no matter what. You can chase light from now until kingdom come. But you're never going to get anywhere until you really understand all the layers of self.
Any more affirmations?
Well, okay, I have a question about that.
But go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, so if you're, would you focus on, instead of saying something like, emphasizing the negative or the pain, would you just say something like, and you had a pain, you wanted to be free of it, my back feels amazing, and keep asking for what purpose, because it's going to feel so good to be free of it. I'm going to get a lot more done because I'm going to have much more range of motion.
Exactly.
Well, if you were going to put it that way, isn't there still the necessity of associating something for that inner being? Like, that inner being doesn't know that your back hurts. All it knows is that there is a sensation. Am I wrong about that?
But also, remember your remember at the beginning, I talked about how we process information. So if you are someone who catch subtext very easily, then that's how you would want to communicate to your subconscious. Sometimes if you're more dominant when in terms of catch of wanting people to tell you things directly, then it's okay to say to talk directly. You know how Jason talked about my back, whatever, I letting go of the pain. Right. And Mary, because you catch subtext so beautifully, then you would want to put it that way. So I wanted to emphasize again the importance of knowing how, of exploring how you process information. Like for example, for me, I am both. I fall in under the category that's called somnambulist, so I can get both of I get subtext and direct communications very easily, and because I fall under the somnambulist category, it's not very good for me to watch infomercials, for example, because if I were to watch them, I'll be the type of person who will end up buying this stuff because I'm like so wide open. So it's so important to understand how you process information. Do you? Because if you know that you want things to be go to you directly and you're more prone to that, you're more slanted toward that, then by all means tell that to your subconscious. It wants direct communication. If you are more toward like the subtext level, say things indirectly, because we want to remember the name of this workshop is how to leverage what was it again, Jason? The affirmation, so we can win the inner game.
Right.
Did you ask him what it was?
Oh, no.
No, she.
Oh, okay.
The word.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay.
So, if there's no more questions, what shall we do next? I'm all subconscious tonight, so I need directions.
Were we going to do something energetically, Jason, or do you want to save that?
I thought Winnie wanted to do something a little bit
hypnosis-ish.
Okay, so let's do that then. Thank you for the direction.
Yeah, please proceed with that.
Okay, so everyone, find a place where that is comfortable to you, where you will not be disturbed. So hasn't everyone found a quiet place? And a place where they will not be disturbed? Whether you're sitting down or laying down, I would want you to rest your hands on your thighs. And then allow yourself to be to become very comfortable. And I'd like for you to choose a spot on the wall. Or choose a spot anywhere you wish. And close your eyes. And open your eyes. And I want you to focus on that spot that you chose. Close your eyes. Open your eyes. And with that, I want you to take a long, deep breath. Close your eyes once more. And with your eyes closed, direct your attention to your legs. Take a deep breath. And feel that breath traveling throughout your entire body. Open your eyes again and focus your attention on that same spot. And as you focus your attention on that same spot, you're going to take three deep breaths. One, inhale, and exhale. Two, inhale, and exhale. Three, inhale, and then exhale. Close your eyes. Your body relaxes. You feel relaxed. And I want you to tighten all of your muscles. Make a fist with your hands. Clench your jaw. Let go of that tension by taking a deep breath. Again, tighten all of your muscles. And relax. And you do that by sending a deep breath throughout your whole body. And that's what it feels like when you are relaxed. Breath flowing throughout your whole body. You let go of the tension. You let go of the tension that's located in your legs. The tension that's located in your thighs. And now focus on your abdomen where there might be muscles that are tight. Let go of that tightness. let go of the tightness located in your arms. Give a little bit of attention to your shoulders. And your neck. And maybe you can imagine or pictures. You can imagine a picture, the tissues and all of your organs and fibers releasing all tension. And I'm going to count from 10 to 1. And with each count, your body becomes more and more relaxed. Count along with me. 10. 9, 8, 7, 6, take a deep breath again, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, just let go. Just let go. Your subconscious mind protects you, keeps you safe, and finds a way to bring you back to your conscious awareness if necessary. But for now, your subconscious mind can try anything it wishes, anything it wishes, because your conscious mind isn't going to do anything of great importance. Your subconscious mind can try anything it wishes because your conscious mind isn't going to do anything of great importance. It is just going to rest. In fact, your conscious mind only wants to drift and drift and drift. Your conscious mind wanders and drifts and drifts and drifts. And your subconscious mind wanders about the smallest activities happening in you. For example, you can notice your eyelids fluttering. Your eyes can feel heavy. And your body can feel light. Rest assured that this is a sign your subconscious mind is opening its door. And you don't even have to listen to this, to the sound of my voice. You don't even have to listen to the sound of my voice because your subconscious mind will hear, listen, and grasp words that are only meaningful to you. words that are only meaningful to you. And you can continue to notice your physical comfort, but you don't even have to pay attention to such pleasant sensations, that feeling of relaxation. What is important, and what is always important, is your appreciation of the moment, of this moment, one that is happening only for you each and every time. And you know how to appreciate and enjoy the warm sensation of the sun touching your skin, a warm blanket covering your body as you are falling asleep. You know these sensations, these feelings that you so enjoy. That knowing means your body is continuing to release loads of stress experienced today, yesterday, years ago. And when I count from 5 to 0, you can begin to let go of that stress even more. Or you can begin to enjoy a more relaxed body. Or you can begin to let go of anything that is no longer of use to your body. You can begin to let go of all that is no longer life-enhancing or serves you. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Relax even more. Relaxation means you are letting go of what serves you no longer. And the better you feel, the more you relax. The better you feel, the more relaxed you are. And the more relaxed you are, the better you feel. Going deeper. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. And the door of your subconscious mind opens even wider. Still going deeper. Your subconscious mind opens wider. Allow it. Remember this feeling of relaxation, comfort, drifting away, feeling good. And the more you relax, the better you feel, the better you feel, the more you relax. And the better you feel, the more letting go you are doing. and your subconscious mind transports you anywhere that is comfortable, safe, beautiful, blissful, magical. And sooner or later, your body becomes lighter. And this feeling continues. As soon as you are ready, this feeling happens as soon as you are ready. Just allow your subconscious mind as much time as necessary for that to happen. And it happens in your sleep. And you don't even have to remember if it's not necessary. And your subconscious mind can begin to communicate with you through inspiration, fun coincidences and dreams about the best way for you to feel empowered, relaxed, blissful, joyful. You hear because you are all here now, connected and alive and aligned. But for now, what is important is joy and you enjoying this moment, your moment. That leads you maybe to a deep sleep at night, a deep sleep that restores your physical body, your emotional body, your hopes, your aspirations. Maybe to carrying on with your day with a smile on your face from time to time, filled with energy and confidence. And maybe when you return to from this experience, with a smile on your face, you find yourself feeling so invigorated, hopeful, confident, empowered, and fully aligned in something even more, a surprise from your subconscious mind. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, eyes opened, you're relaxed and focused, fully aligned. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, eyes open, time to come back.
Hi, Winnie.
Hello.
That was so lovely.
Oh, hey.
That was wow.
Lovely, Winnie. Yet. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's how it's done. That's how you do it. With the technique and concepts that were in that really just guided visualization, because it wasn't necessarily hypnotic, but it has a ton to do with relaxation. It's one of the best ways to rewire so that you can create the new feeling to associate concepts to, right? And so if as an example, you were to sit down and correct me anytime I'm not right, okay? Okay. If you were to sit down and if you were to go through an exercise similar to that, and then you wrote your affirmation, then there are parts of you that are going to understand the association.
That is correct, Jason.
So I've just found out that I can make my affirmations and visualization work 1,000 times more effective if I do some meditation beforehand.
Yes. Yes, because you're opening up that line.
Plus, everything we hang on to is a lot of times is held in place because of the contractions, the muscle contractions, the stress, the what's the word I'm after? You used it several times in that, at least the opposite of it. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. I think that the point is made.
Fabulous.
Would you say then that flow is a key in affirmation? So it was when we get ourselves to a place of such deep relaxation, it seems like there's more of a flow and allowing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because you're not creating a barrier, and you're not in a. And again, you've eliminated the state of scarcity that creates stress. And right, because people tend to write affirmations because they feel that they don't have something. So that's the fully embedded energy behind it. Perhaps it's not always 100% of the it's not always the case 100% of the time, but more often than not, that's the reason that people write affirmations, right, to get something. And when you're in that state of not having, then you're under stress. And stress is one of the ways that you block that line of communication.
To say nothing of associating a sensation of stress with something that you need, and there are parts of you that relish in the feeling of that stress simply because of the size of the sensation, the scope of the sensation, and so if your affirmation is simply, I want more money, now it's associated with stress.
Right, and that's what it's going to give you is more stress instead of more money.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because it doesn't connect to the thing desired. It only connects to the sensation. But
right. And then last time we talked about the known as well, the subconscious is like in love with homeostasis. And if stress is a state that is known, that's what it wants all the time, because it's a known.
It's familiar.
So you have to, yeah.
Do you have to interrupt it? You have to redirect
right.
it. Very good.
Yeah. So what we also found out is, to reinforce something that Jason has been saying for the longest, is it also begins with the body. The body is key.
Yes, it is, because it is also its own mind, and so is every particle with which it is made. And there is no other way to define what the experience in 3D is about without starting at the level of the body.
Right. Okay, so I am done, and I'm not taking any more directions.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you, everyone. I'll stop the recording now.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, this is it's great stuff. I mean, I don't think I can stress enough how. I'm a very well-read guy, and I learn so much every single day. It is unbelievable. And you know, not the least of which being that I just learn with more and more solidity in my being that I know absolutely nothing. And that's what makes me hungrier than ever. And but these simple and most basic things, you know, believe it or not, a lot of what Jesus was doing, you know, like on the Sermon on the Mount and things like that, a lot of that was talking about this very thing. You know, treat others the way you want to be treated. It was just all very simple, straightforward stuff, childlike level stuff. And that's why I feel so strongly about all of this being as the foundation work for the, you know, the mastery kind of stuff that we're going to be doing from now on. I mean, we're never not in the process of mastering ourselves, because if we were finished, we wouldn't be in this reality or the next one up or the next one up.
I was telling Mary earlier, I don't know if Jason was here, but I was like, so embarrassed because this is so simple, and then my write-up looked like it was so out of the world. So it felt that there was no congruency. So, yeah, just to support what you're saying, it looks very basic, but the implementation is something else, isn't it?
Yeah. I've been practicing things like this for 2 years, and it's a practice. Sometimes you figure stuff out in the process, and you find stuff that doesn't quite work for you, and then you find something that works even better, and it's very simple, because I think that part of ourself is very simple, but at the same time, it's the hardest part is just the focus aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the benefits are so cool and complicated, and I mean, not complicated, they're so rich.
Complex. Mm-hmm.
And you can always get better. You can always get better at focusing and expanding and deepening your mastery of this part of your being. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I know I'll sleep well tonight.
Yeah.
I'm so relaxed.
That's right. I know that's right.
Thank you, Winnie.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Winnie. Thanks, everybody.
I was very much appreciated. if you would leave like your takeaway on these things as what you found, what was important for you, what resonated mm-hmm. for you. So that would be cool.
How can we do this? Should we?
You can just go on the, you know how we have a section for calls?
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I'll bump it so everybody All can right. find it easily on the forum. And it would be, Okay, awesome. Thanks, everyone. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.